You're listening to Army Chat on Army Radio. Your campus, your voice, Ben Cole, Hannah Smith, Eddie Sheehy. Zach Laffer will be joining us shortly. First thing we have to get into today is there's always the talk of, is a campus safe? You know, there's always the different issues that could come up. You know, there could be a terrorist act, there could be bomb threats, there could be shootings. And most recently, there were shootings on different campuses in Oregon and Arizona. Delaney Hassel did a really good article on rmucentralmedia.com. RMU is prepared in event of shooter on campus. Hannah, let's talk about that a little bit more. Is RMU safe? Is the headline itself, it says that we are prepared, but are we really prepared?
I mean, I don't think anybody can ever be like 100% like guaranteed, like we're absolutely prepared, don't have no care in the world about
right.
it. Like, that it says even in there that there's still always that concern, you're always still a little on edge and everything, and it's something that you hope that you never have to go through, but it's definitely in this day and age something that a lot of people are experiencing. So I don't want to ever say that, like, that person is necessarily ever, like, you're not exactly prepared, because you never know how you'll react
right
in that situation until you're put in it.
Right.
You can always do preparation and everything, but once you're actually in the situation, that's whenever you know how prepared you are.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we can be prepared to the gills. We can do drills upon drills and, you know, say that we're physically ready, but, it, you know, if it actually happens, if there's a gunman that just walks through Nicholson Hall, I mean, are we ready for those kind of things?
Yeah, I mean, that also, like, brought up, like, the question I know we discussed. You know, are there going to have to be maybe college-wide, you know, drills, essentially, like active shooter drills, you know, like in high school, you always had like fire drills, you know what I mean? And that type of thing, we still do fire drills for our dorms here
yeah.
and everything. But since this is becoming such, you know, something that's occurring almost, it seems like every week at some points in time, you know what I mean? Are we going to have to start maybe thinking about a active shooter drill?
Yeah. I mean, what we can talk about at length about what can easily prevent, you know, shooting, whether it be, you know, more mental health, you know,
yeah.
research done in this country, stricter gun laws. But let's put it at a side that, you know, that these things are happening, that
yes.
we have to actually be prepared. Eddie, I'll ask you, do you feel safe on campus? I mean, we've talked about this a lot. I think one of the biggest things that we've talked about on this show, at least this semester, is, you know, the level of safety on campus. But at its core, if something would happen, do you think this campus is ready?
Yeah, definitely more or less I feel safe here. A shooter on campus is not a thing I worry about at all. It's definitely at the bottom of my list of things to be concerned about at RMU. That's not to say it couldn't happen. I don't think it would happen. It sounds like from the article that if it were to happen, we are prepared enough. You know, it's true you can never be 100% prepared, but the only reason you can't be 100% prepared is because you can't know when it's going to happen. But it sounds like they have a plan in place where if it were to happen, they would be able to get the situation under control pretty effectively. Plus, I think we have the benefit of having somewhat of a contained campus. I mean, there's no way that a cop couldn't be anywhere on this campus within a minute,
right?
You know, if they really had to. So we have that going for us as well. So as far as, you know, me personally, I feel incredibly safe when it comes to this. I think there's a greater chance of, you know, needing a fire drill because there may be a fire in the dorm than in
right.
the case of we need an active shooter drill
yeah.
because I think there's an active shooter
right.
possibly.
I mean, and we live, you know, the campus at geographically is in a decent area.
Yeah.
I mean, Moon Township is, you know, it's a nice little cluster. University
yeah.
Boulevard is relatively lengthy. And, you know, you just turn left or right depending on which way you're coming on University Boulevard, and you are on campus. It's relatively self-contained in itself with the exception of Yorktown.
Yes.
But at its core, everything is encapsulated.
Yeah.
So the one thing that I'm always curious with is it's relatively open getting on campus. I mean, there's two ways that you can essentially get on campus.
You can get on campus either at the front through the gates, or like not really the back, but kind of like the side by Wheatley.
Kind of the side,
end of Wheatley.
Yeah, and they're not enclosed.
No,
they're open.
Yes.
So I mean, we've talked in the police blotter that cars have come through, and certain things have happened.
Oh, like the guy last year who was driving through. It's like faster for him to drive through campus to get to his home, and he had a heart attack driving through campus and jumped the curb and ran into a building.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I said, though, like I feel like stuff like that is way more common and is way more likely to happen than a shooter on campus.
Yeah. Those kind of things, are we kind of ready for it? Are we prepared for it?
You know what, though? This summer, I was working at a place called Kennametal, and one of the days we had an active shooter drill. We all had to, like, they brought, like, they did it as a real thing. Like, we, like, knew what day it was going to happen, but we didn't know the time. And they go through the whole drill, and they actually called the police. Like, the police know it's going to happen, but they check response times, and, you know, we go through the whole drill. So I guess it's a possibility we could do something like that here.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting, and I got to talk to some of the cops about that, and they were saying how, you know, active shooters are incredibly dangerous up until the point where you can hear the police siren. They said, statistically speaking, if you can hear a police siren or you can hear the cops, you're pretty much safe, because most people, they were telling me, was when you start to hear a siren, the cops coming, like, an overwhelming majority of active shooters suddenly at that moment realize what they have done and realize what is going to happen to them. And
the inevitable,
you know, and I don't know the exact percentage, but say, like, you know, this overwhelming percent of them just at that moment give up. So I like to think in a place like this, like we said, you're what, a minute away at max from hearing a police siren if they turn it on. So hopefully, you know, that statistic would even come true if that was the situation, and that's, you know, could be ended even faster.
Right. In Delaney's article, she interviewed Officer Nicholas DeRusso. He's a firearm instructor and training officer. He says, if we got a call that there was an active shooter, our initial goal is to stop the shooter. That's what we do. From a police department standpoint, our initial goal is to stop the shooting, stop the violence, and end it. We are going to find out where he is at, respond there, and deal with the threat once we're there. Again, you know, the time frame that it is getting from one end of campus to the other.
I mean, you could be on complete opposite ends of the campus. Like, the farthest you can think of is what? Like, from Wheatley to Sewell. Lower Sewell?
Yeah, Sewell.
I mean, how long does that take to get across campus, especially in a police car going fast?
Yeah,
you know, like
even with like the little turn going by John Jay.
Exactly. Plus, I think it helps that we aren't a campus with just some security guards.
Sure,
we have an actual police force.
Yeah.
So I think that makes it a little safer too.
Zach, I'll ask you the level of safety on campus if we would have a possible shooter running around on campus. Do you think that the public safety department would be able to apprehend it and control it relatively quickly?
From what I read from Delaney's article, can you hear me?
Yeah, fix that one thing.
The knob.
What knob?
That knob right there.
Which one? This.
The one knob.
Flip it.
There
this?
You go.
That?
Yes.
Good?
I think so.
Okay.
No.
I can't hear it.
What about this? We're going to fix the microphone here real quick, and then we'll...
I don't know.
Loffer, you're really struggling with this, dude. Really struggling. Yeah. There you go. Now I can even see the levels from here. That was it. That's what had to happen.
Are we in?
We're fine.
Are we in?
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay.
Yes, we're good now.
Back to the conversation.
This is what happens whenever you have interns at the board and at mics. Go ahead.
Well, now the light is on the other side, and okay, there we are.
Touching it.
There you are.
Okay, question?
All right, public safety on this campus. Do you feel safe?
Yeah, I read Delaney's article, and I think from what they said, I would feel pretty confident that they would be able to apprehend any kind of shooter.
Right.
Because of the fact, what Eddie said, like, there's an actual police force. It's not just a couple of guys walking around or driving around in golf carts. Like, these guys are trained, and they are trained for this situation. So,
right.
As long as everyone does their part, I wouldn't feel worried. Right. Right. Well, I would feel worried, obviously, but
right.
I would feel safer than I would feel if there was just a bunch of guys driving around in golf carts.
Right. You can find this article on armycentralmedia.com. Hannah, is there anything else that's coming down the pike that we can kind of look forward to right now that's going to be coming up relatively soon?
Definitely. I will have some articles related to international students coming out. Delaney is working on some more stuff with the police department. She's going to have some more interesting articles coming up. Then we also have a good bit of little festive Halloween type celebrations coming up, and Morgan Torsha and Tori Flick will be covering all of those, so definitely want to be watching out for that.
I feel like Delaney's pretty much taking residence at the public safety office recently.
Pretty much. You know, whenever you work a beat system, that's kind of what you do.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, we're going to make this a little bit more lighthearted. We're going to be talking about Star Wars. The new trailer for The Force Awakens is out, and obviously we kind of have to talk about it, and we're definitely going to get into that. You're listening to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
This is Joe Hale, television engineer at the Academic Media Center at Robert Morris University. You are listening to RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
Hey Blues fans, this is Don Luisi, host of Damn Right I Got the Blues on RMU Radio. If you want to listen to a mix of blues, R&B, jazz, and soul from classic to contemporary artists, tune into my show, Damn Right I Got the Blues, on Thursdays from 4 to 6 p.m. on RMU Radio. Damn Right I Got the Blues, where we're keeping the blues alive one bit at a time, on RMUradio.com, your campus, your voice.
Your campus, your voice. This is RMU Radio. You're listening to RMU Chat. Ben Cole, Hannah Smith, Eddie Sheehy, Zach Laufer. Yep. The Force is strong with the Star Wars The Force Awakens. Mm. The latest trailer is out. The final trailer, apparently, is out for the seventh installment of Star Wars. Eddie Sheehy is going to break it down for us. Eddie?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to break it
well
down.
Well, you can, I mean, you can give us
I like that segue into it, though. That was nice.
Yeah. I've been sitting on that all day.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I can see you sat in here and wrote like five versions of the intro. Yeah. That's the one you decided on. But it worked. It sounded good. I'm glad you did that. So as Ben said, the highly anticipated trailer for Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, came out yesterday. It was during what games halftime?
Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it was during Monday Night Football. I don't know what two teams were playing. I obviously didn't care about that part of the trailer release. It came out. The internet's reaction, as expected, was incredibly positive, incredibly overwhelming. People are so excited about this, except for a particular group who we will talk about later. I personally am not as excited as everybody else, though I am pleased with what I saw. I'm not one of those people who, like, Star Wars is the most important thing from my childhood. Like, I like Star Wars. I've seen Star Wars hundreds of times. I have opinions on the stuff that happens into it, but it's not like I will personally be let down if this movie is bad. I'll be disappointed. I want it to be good, but I'm not like...
Well, this one better be good because we already know the two more are coming.
Two more are coming.
At least in this line. They're already doing...
they're also doing a Boba Fett spinoff, Solo spinoff.
Have those two been... Those
Boba
two haven't
Fett's
been
confirmed.
Boba Fett has been confirmed. And then we also have Rogue One that's supposed to be coming out as
right.
well.
So, you know, part of me hopes it's good for the sake of... You know, I don't like sitting through long, bad movies when I go to see them, but I'm not, like, personally invested in it. The trailer gives me hope. Like I said, I'm not nearly as excited as everybody else seems to be, but I kind of expected that. We've got Daisy Ridder. We really get to see a lot of her for the first time.
Ridley. Daisy Ridley.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Daisy Ridley. We finally get to see her for the first time. We also could see her reaction online. She seems pretty into it.
She gets really excited, and then John Boyega also gets kind of excited.
Yeah,
whenever he sees a little bit, and he actually just jumps on the couch, jumps over the couch actually.
So they're excited. That gives me more hope, I think, than a lot of other things, because when the people who are in it are at least really excited about it, that's something to go for.
Yeah.
You know, it's always nice to see the people involved like what's happening. I like J.J. Abrams in general. I've liked him ever since Lost. I trust him. For the better part of his career, he's done good stuff. Star Trek was pretty decent. So I have faith that Star Wars will... it won't disappoint, I bet. It also is going to be record-breaking, and I keep seeing like all those Jurassic World trailers, and they're like, the number one movie of the year, and I'm like, the number one movie of the year until we get to December 18th, and then you're screwed.
Yep. Ticket sales are already
Ticket sales
skyrocketed.
Already broke. Fandango.com, AMCMovieTickets.com. Yeah, they went on sale like a little early. They were like 24 hours early. Some websites were just like, sure, we'll put the pre-sales up. And the people crashed the websites. So they're obviously very excited for it.
And there's also going to be a 7 p.m. premiere on that Thursday night.
Yes.
So technically it's not out on December 18th, it's out December
17th. They do that a lot anymore, I've noticed, with movies. They don't go for midnight premieres, they'll go for usually it's a 10 p.m. premiere, mm-hmm. but for something this big with like adding two extra hours worth of show times is going to do that movie.
That's a big
well
deal.
At yes. the box office. Because I guarantee you people will go see it at 7 p.m. the 17th, and then they'll go back the 18th and watch it again.
Of course.
Yeah, so it'll be popular. It'll be hopefully good. I'm reserving. This is the last trailer, and I never go into a movie See, this is weird, because before I review a movie, I try not to watch trailers. Like, there's some movies that it's unavoidable. I'll watch the trailers. And
this
get
one,
really
I
excited.
This one is you can't escape it.
You can't escape the trailer. I have to watch the trailer. I don't like trailers a lot because, you know, we all have seen movies with great trailers, but the trailer's the best part of the movie. And exactly. We've all seen movies that you're like, well, the trailer sucked. Like, how many people didn't go just because of how bad the trailer was? So I try to avoid trailers as a personal thing. This one was inescapable. So, you know, I watched it. I'm pretty happy with it. Unlike a group of people who last night, the most surprising thing was when I went on Twitter and saw hashtag boycott Star Wars. And I was like, you know, immediately before clicking on it, I was like, man, what are they boycotting Star Wars for? And my immediate thing was like, it was going to be something like the movie is, you know, it looks awful. For some reason, they're really upset. And then I looked at it and they're saying, and this is a shocker, that there's not enough white people in Star Wars. The trailer focuses somewhat heavy on a black character who is a stormtrooper. His whole mission in the movie is kind of unclear here, but, you know, people are really upset about that for some reason. I don't really get why. If anything, I think Star Wars has been a movie that has lacked diversity. Mm-hmm. I can think of Lando Calrissian as a black character.
Mace Windu,
and the guy who voiced Jar Jar Binks. Those are the black people in Star Wars I can think of. Add number four, I don't know why people are getting so upset.
And also, you have to think of one of the most iconic characters in Star Wars, and just in cinema in general, Darth Vader was voiced by a black guy.
So I don't know what people are so upset there. I think they're really looking for something to be upset about. The other thing I wanted to talk about, of course, about this trailer was Kylo Ren.
Yes.
He's going to be the bad guy in this. We all heard a lot about him before, even if you don't recognize his name. You know him from that three-pointed lightsaber everybody was talking about when the first trailer came out months ago. His name's Kylo Ren. We get to hear him for the first time in this trailer.
We think that's his voice. We're assuming it's his voice.
I think it's safe to assume that that's his voice.
Sure.
That being said, I don't like the voice at all. That was my least favorite part of the whole thing. It's a really bad, like, it's like if somebody was doing a bad Darth Vader impression with a voice changer you got in a Happy Meal. That's what it sounds like. So,
well, think of it this way: whenever you see Hayden Christensen as Anakin, and then you realize whenever he turns into Darth Vader, he turns into James Earl Jones.
Right? What? You're like, what? What?
How does that work?
Yeah.
Okay, but keep going.
So I'm not sold on the voice. I also want to pull up the very interesting theory going around. Ben, we talked about this a little earlier. Could Kylo Ren actually be Luke Skywalker? First time I watched the trailer, myself and a whole bunch of other people heard the line, I will finish what you started.
In so many words.
And we're assuming Kylo Ren says this, and he says this over a shot of the melted Darth Vader helmet. So there's an idea out there that Luke Skywalker could have, after the third movie, whatever you want to really refer to it as, after Return of the Jedi, became a Sith Lord,
right?
Despite what everyone thinks is the happy ending of he brings balance to the Force by not becoming a Sith Lord.
Right.
Maybe he becomes a Sith Lord and the Force is still not balanced. Now he's Kylo Ren trying to finish what Darth Vader started.
Yeah.
It would be an interesting point for the movie to go. It would be an interesting direction, but I personally don't think that's the right direction for the movie to go.
If that's the theory, then who the heck is Adam Driver supposed to be? Because we've heard that Adam Driver is being billed as Kylo Ren. We haven't seen Luke in any shape or form. I mean, we've heard his voice. We've heard his voice in the first trailer.
But he's not in the poster.
Right.
He's not in the trailer other than there's a shot with R2-D2 and an arm. A mechanical hand grabs R2-D2 or, like, touches R2-D2.
Which is implied that he
is. Which is implied. It's Luke Skywalker because we know Luke Skywalker is missing.
It was, like, half a second.
Just a quick little blip.
Yeah. So it's a possibility. I don't think that's the right direction for the movie, especially because when the big takeaway from Return of the Jedi, I think the ending there is you realize, like, Darth Vader is kind of like, oh man, maybe I wasn't right all these years. Like, maybe this is the wrong thing. Luke is kind of like, yeah, man, I'll show you the way. So I'm hoping it's something stupid, like some kid standing in the background when Luke finally killed Vader or whatever, and he is like, I'm going to do it for you, Vader.
Yeah.
And it's not Luke. But the
keep going. Sorry.
I was just going to say, the fact that he's not in any of the promotional material makes me a little nervous.
We also have to keep in mind, though, whenever J.J. Abrams was asked multiple times, is Benedict Cumberbatch Khan?
Mm-hmm.
He kept on denying it.
And then he was.
And lo and behold, Benedict Cumberbatch was Khan.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's a possibility. There's some points saying yes. There are, of course, some points saying no. As you mentioned, you know, Mark Hamill's not billed as Kylo Ren. Not that I think they would. That would really ruin the surprise if it was. Maybe it's a situation, though, like, you know, James Earl Jones didn't play Darth Vader. They had somebody else play Darth Vader, and he just added the voice.
Yep.
Maybe it's this, you know, but at the same time, like, Leia and Han got really old, and then, you know, midichlorians aside, because those have to be in the freaking universe now, I mean, there's no way you can show Mark Hamill and be like, yeah, he didn't age at all. He's fine. Like, he's not 100 years old.
There is also the theory that Kylo Ren, or the Adam Driver character, and Rey, or who's Daisy Ridley, are the Solo twins.
That's what I'm hoping. My personal, like, hope theory is that, you know, Kylo Ren is their twins of Leia and Han.
Yeah.
He's doing it for, like, his grandfather, maybe, and Luke, maybe, in the end, has to come in to kick some ass to, like, smooth everything over again.
I mean, there is that shot at the end of the trailer where Leia looks a little bit upset, and Han's trying to console her.
Now, I've read an article that says that the reason she is crying is because Chewbacca dies.
There is that. I don't know if that's true. If you look at that shot, whenever Rey is crying, it kind of looks like a Wookiee-ish figure.
Right. So,
but then in the next shot, we see
Chewbacca.
Wookiee with a Wookiee with his arms up, which we assume
is Chewbacca.
Now I would be okay with Chewbacca possibly dying in this one. Think of it this way: Peter Mayhew, who plays Chewbacca, isn't going to be around for very much longer.
Peter Mayhew is very old,
but at the same time, you can have another relatively tall person
play Chewbacca.
I mean, all of Chewie's sounds are relatively in the can already.
Yes. Personally, you know, I guarantee they kill someone in this movie. Somebody's got to die, whether it be like Luke. But I hope it's Han Solo. I want Harrison Ford to get his, like, I hope that when they were negotiating this movie, Harrison Ford sat down and said, the only way I'm coming back is if you finally kill me, because famously hated playing Han Solo. He hates when people ask him questions about it. So the, like, why he would become apparently a pretty big part of this, well, look at the poster, his face is pretty front and center, is beyond me, unless he sat down and said, like, JJ, you kill me and I'll come back, or else forget about it.
Last thing before we go to break, the interesting thing with Han Solo, you see him in episode 4, like, he's completely against the Force, he doesn't believe in it, and then in the trailer he says, you know, the Jedi, the Force, the Sith, it's all true.
Yeah.
Like, he's bought it.
Which is
finally
another interesting thing, though. Like, because why do people not believe it? And then he's like, the story's true. I was like, why?
Because he's seen it. He's actually seen it in action.
I know,
he's bought,
like,
into the system.
Don't
now.
You think that after the Empire fell, like, all the Jedis all of a sudden be like, no, the Force is real. And everybody would be like, you're right. That's what took down the Empire. But instead, everybody's kind of like, Well, I don't know. That thing that brought down the Empire, I don't know if that's real. I don't know if I buy that story.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I don't know if I buy that story.
Well, we just have to wait now until December 18th.
December 18th.
Oh, unfortunately.
I think I have to just watch the Star all six episodes in order to understand everything that you guys just talked about.
Yeah. Have you never watched them before?
I have. Like...
But you still don't get it.
But I still don't get it. Yeah. I think I have to watch them again.
Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah. I think you will have to.
You probably should before you go see it. I don't think this is going to be a movie that is not going to have not. Like, that's kind of like Jurassic World. Like, you really should have seen the first Jurassic Park.
Sure.
If you're going to see Jurassic World, you really should see the first six Star Wars.
Yeah.
If you're going to see the seventh.
Yeah, yeah. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, it's going to be police blotter time. There we go. All right, we're going to do police blotter. I muted myself first. Yes, yes. The interns are running the asylum now. You're listening to Army Chat on Army Radio, your campus, your voice.
Hi, this is Dr. Heather Pinson, the Department Head of Communication, and you're listening to RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
Your campus, your voice, your Colonials. RMU Radio is the home for men's basketball.
Stewart in transition, a mini, throws one down over JoJo Cooper. Put him on a poster.
Men's hockey.
For Zach Lynch, he's going to go for the net. Can they make it four? He does!
And RMU football. Listen online at rmuradio.com or on the Century Media app. Your Colonials play right here on RMU Radio.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. I think this time, instead of melting Zach's face, it melted Eddie's face.
Yeah. Robot fornication.
Nah, I wouldn't go that far. It's a good song. It's a good song. Frankenstein by the Edgar Winter Group is what you're looking for.
Is it called Robot Coitus?
No, it's Frankenstein. Song is called Frankenstein.
I would have called it Robot Coitus.
Well, yeah, of course you would. Of course you would. It's police blotter time.
Well, that was a long one. Come out of the car with your hands up. All right,
that's okay. Now I think we're done with that. Hannah, what do you got for us this week?
I'm just going to warn ahead of time, it is kind of disappointing. There was not much
that
bad this week.
It when people behave. Yeah.
It's starting to get cold.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
A 300%
increase.
I think you're right.
What to put on here.
300% increase.
Yeah,
300.
Like 8 to 24.
Whoa. Wow. We're in double digits, low double digits now.
All right, what do you got?
All right. On the 7th, departmental information, a student wanted a report on file in reference to a roommate conflict. All pertinent information was obtained. A report was filed for all information purposes.
Ooh. So what does that mean?
Somebody was really upset with their roommate, so they went to the cops so the cops could write down that they were really upset with their roommate.
Wow. Fair enough. Good job.
That's why I like to settle things with my roommate with good old-fashioned fist fighting.
Really?
How's that working out for you?
Is that what happened to Matt's leg?
Broken ankle, yeah. Actually, I told everyone in class this morning he got hurt in a very severe ballerina accident. I'm going to keep that rumor down.
I can see it. I'll help you spread it.
Thank you.
Okay.
So the first one was a dud.
The problem with America in a nutshell. I'll help you spread that rumor.
What else you got?
All right. On the 8th accident, this department was advised of a hit-and-run accident in the Yorktown parking lot. The victim's information was obtained, and pictures were taken of the damage. The suspect driver was identified and will be charged accordingly.
Crazy thought. We were talking about this last night. I was like,
yeah.
Like, I dropped Bobby D off at his car. We were parking. I was looking for a spot, so I, like, circled the parking lot.
And this is over in
Yorktown. This is over in Yorktown. Okay. And I, like, was going towards Bobby D, and I was like, how memorable of a night would this be if I hit him? Nobody ever remember. Like, do you remember that night I almost hit you with my car? Nobody remembers that.
But if 10 years down the line,
I was like, do you remember that time I hit you with my car in the parking lot? You would remember
that.
You'd
be like, of course I do. Like, I remember the whole day.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're spreading rumors about your roommate breaking his ankle. You want to hit somebody
with a car.
I think we might need to have a talk after this show.
But that's what we're saying. So there's a hit and run. Like, somebody's going to be like, somebody is like, do you remember that time I hit the car and we left and we never got in trouble for it? That's a good story.
Maybe it was that car that was parked in Lower Sewell.
Oh, I wonder. Wait, no, it couldn't have been. This is the police blotter. This happened like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, you're right.
But there was a car yesterday in Lower Sewell when
we were
leaving.
Yeah, we got to look out for that.
That had like 12 cops around it.
The same thing happened behind Yorktown Hall whenever I pulled in the first time because I went back yesterday and they were searching the woods and they were searching this car, had the one kid. Oh, yeah. It looked like they were having a grand old time.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, on that same day, another departmental information. Get ready for this one, guys. This department was advised of a pitcher falling in the lobby of Yorktown Hall. Officers removed the pitcher and cleaned up the glass. Maintenance was advised.
Really?
Somebody called the cops to clean up a broken pitcher?
Well, there's glass. Got to be careful with those kind of things.
Their first reaction to dropping a pitcher was to pull out their cell phone and call, like, what is it, 5-6
public safety.
Something.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Get on the phone and then go, hello, RMU Public Safety. Hi,
I busted a pitcher.
Yeah, I dropped some glass. Can you please come clean it up?
It's like I stole a balloon. I'm going to need you to come.
This is how safe our campus is. Like, the cops weren't, like, the cops weren't even like, we're too busy doing real cop stuff to deal with your broken glass. They went and cleaned it up and then had enough time to call maintenance. Like, hey, just want to let you know we cleaned up some glass. Thought you should be aware.
Wow. Thought it's weird that they called us and not you, but yeah. That's fine.
We cleaned it up anyways. No big deal.
We did your job for you.
Yeah, that's bizarre. That's a little bit bizarre.
Next time.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Okay. Then on the 10th, student conduct, this department was advised of a suspicious occupied vehicle in the Yorktown parking lot. Officers found the vehicle, and the occupant was underage and under the influence of alcohol. The student was transported back to their dorm and advised they would be sent through judicial affairs.
I always wonder if that would happen to me one day, because I always like to pull into, like, if I'm listening to a song, like, I'll wait it out in my car, like, the last 2 minutes of the song or whatever in my car, and while I'm just sitting there, I'm always like, I wonder if this looks suspicious.
From a, like, cop's perspective.
Yeah, does it look suspicious that I'm just, like, sitting in my car in a parking lot?
I can imagine that's what the cops saw when they saw that person.
Yeah, but if they were drunk, I'm hoping they were, like, bouncing around or something, and the cops were like, why is that car bouncing?
Let's
go check that out.
Yeah.
That's a fair statement.
Yikes.
All right.
If and you're then just quiet, then I don't think anything.
And the last one I have for you was on the 12th, suspicious incident. A student reported someone might have entered his or her vehicle while parked in the student center parking lot. All pertinent information was obtained and a report was issued.
So they didn't break in, which means they left their car unlocked.
Yes, they just
and they
kinda,
think
they just
somebody kinda got in and, like, looked around.
Hey, what you doing here?
What you got? The interior.
Didn't, like, steal anything. Just kind of
looked around.
How do you even know that? Like, without something being stolen, I would.
Unless you have, like, a really strong photographic memory of how your car was laid out.
Yeah.
Like, they moved something.
I know the wheel was not turned this way when I left. Like, and now it's, like. But then that also begs the question that who's going into open cars, not stealing anything, just looking around for a few seconds, and then standing up and walking out?
Yeah.
Weirdos.
That's a weird story.
I mean, maybe they thought it was their car for a second. I've accidentally gotten into another car with actually somebody in it one time, thinking it was a different car. That was awkward, but it mistakes can be made.
Like, when I had my old car, I would, like, walk up to that same car in, like, a parking lot and, like, try and open the door and be like, why is this opening? And then you, like, look inside and there's, like, a My Little Pony bobblehead and you're like, this is my car.
I
thought you would have had that.
But for this one, instead of not being able to open it,
it opened and they got in and then were like, this isn't my car. They put the key in and it didn't go in and they went, this isn't my car.
This isn't my car.
No welfare checks this week.
No.
That's really disappointing.
Those are my favorite.
Everybody's contacting their mommies and daddies.
I'm
going
to start calling
kids
as people's parents asking for welfare checks. And like people we know in the century.
You are a sick and twisted individual.
I'm going to start calling for you, love.
I think that's like strike four right now.
We're going to soon be on another hand. With
I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to start a code of conduct for RMU chat co-hosts. This is not good.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if you create a code of conduct, I promise to break at least half of the rules by the end of this semester.
There we go. So challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted.
All right. We're going to take our last break. Whenever we come back, we are talking hockey. It is now hockey night in Moon Township.
Woo.
So
raise your hands if you care about the hockey.
I got
oh, look. Nobody's raising their
hands. I got two hands. Zach raised a hand. Hannah raised a hand.
That's speculation. They can't see that. As far as they know, nobody is raising their hands.
I raised both hands.
Nobody raised their hands.
Overruled. Go to a break.
Okay. And we also have Meet the Colonials that we need to talk about. So a little bit of a recap of that. The Colonials have been met. Now we need to talk about it.
Andy Toole was on fire.
We're going to talk about that. You're listening to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
Hi, this is Michael DeLauro, Director of the Academic Media Center at Robert Morris University. You're listening to RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
RMU Radio, your award-winning station. 2015 Intercollegiate Broadcasting System's Best Specialty Show Finalist, comment.
لكن في سؤال عندي الآن، هل تعتقد الممثل لابد أن يكون يعني إنسان متوسع في أفكاره؟
And 2015 Best News Interview Finalist, Ben Cole with Scott Erlbacher.
Let's put you in West Virginia and running their Greek life. If this happened under your watch, what would you have done?
Society for Collegiate Journalists, first place internet radio overall excellence.
You are tuned into Underground Hits.
Welcome to Out of My Element.
This is Colonial Talk.
Sports Talk in the Berg.
Welcome to Literature Out Loud.
RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
Thank you.
You're listening to RMU Chat and RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
I'm a sad guy.
There's no need for that.
You are just a terrible human being.
Rule number 48, broken. Cross it up the handbook.
What was that?
I'm breaking all of Ben's rules.
He's just breaking rules left and right.
Oh, man.
So, how many rules are there?
I've stopped.
Does each individual swear word count as a rule to break?
You're a terrible human being.
Let's get to sports.
Let's get to sports. That's right. men's hockey opened up last weekend against Air Force.
Air Force.
How'd we do?
They split. Well, technically, they won one. They drew one. They had a 3-3 tie in the second game, which was really upset. It was upsetting for them because they played very poorly in the first two periods, and I feel like they knew that they should have been able to take one of those games very easily.
Well,
the first game was 5-1. I mean, they're averaging 4 goals a game, so you can't really complain about the offense.
Right.
Dalton Nizek should probably be the starting goaltender over Schaefer because Schaefer gave up 3 goals against Air Force while Nizek only gave up the 1, and Nizek was the one who won the game, the first one in the season opener. So I think if that's a telltale sign, I feel like Nizek has the better qualities of a starting goaltender.
Is it okay now that they're kind of splitting duties?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously you're not going to have one goaltender take every game.
Yeah.
I'm saying Nizek needs to be the starter, like the Marc-Andre Fleury.
The basic starter.
Yes. Schaefer isn't bad. Schaefer is just not as good, so he should have a diminished role.
Right.
With goaltending.
Now, offensively, we were very curious as going into this season. We're not going to have the Cody Waddo that we have this year. Already scoring 8 goals. I mean, out of the 2 games, you know. That's,
and in their exhibition, they scored 5 more.
Yes, they did. So, okay, let's look at that. That's 13 goals.
Yep.
That's relatively good so far.
Yeah. Lynch has 2 goals, 2 assists to lead the team. As an assistant captain, I believe, right? Lynch is the one of the assistant captains.
I believe so, yes.
Ferguson and Denham both have 3 points each. So does Gibson. Tyson Wilson, the captain, I think, right? Tyson Wilson?
Yeah.
He already has 2 points from assists being a defender. But I think with what we've seen so far, at least offensively, they look pretty sharp.
Yeah. Now the next 2 games or the 2 next teams that they're going to be playing, they're both on the road.
Yeah.
Relatively difficult, I'd say. Niagara on the 23rd and 24th, and then going up to the big house, or the big ice house.
The big ice
house. 30th and 31st, Halloween night against University of Michigan.
Yeah, what are they at, number 11?
Yeah, they're up there.
If they can split that, I think that'll be 100% what they were going in expecting.
And what about Niagara? I think you have to come away with 2 at least.
Yeah, I think Niagara's nowhere near the level of competition that the Michigan team is.
Right.
So I think they are right outside the top 20 in the country right now. So I think that RMU should be able to take both of those games.
Okay. So let's switch from ice to the hard court. Meet the Colonials was this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Introducing the men and the women basketball teams that are going to be playing this year in the Sewell Center.
Yeah.
What was one of some of the big things that went on during Meet the Colonials?
Well, I mean, you had the standard typical Coach Toole and Coach Sal handing out their money with the fan shooting thing. You had the free throw competition. You had the dunk contest, which was very underwhelming.
Can the teams dunk?
Yeah,
are we good
not
at dunking?
The women's team.
Well, yeah. There's a height issue with that.
Yeah.
But some of the guys were able to dunk.
I think the majority of the men's basketball team has the ability to dunk the ball. Especially, I mean, like they don't have any guys over 6'9", so you have a problem with that. All in itself. But some of the guys, like some of the freshmen, Isaiah Still, 6'6", he can get up there and he can dunk, which is pretty impressive.
We're not going to see the team in action for a little bit while still.
Yeah.
Exhibition games are against St. Vincent here, Penn and Cincinnati both on the road, Bucknell back here.
Yep.
Then they're going to go on the road for the Air Force Classic, and their regular season essentially really doesn't start until the beginning of December.
Mm-hmm.
So we still got a little bit of time, and they've got a little bit of time to still iron some things out.
Yeah, and I think that they're, for all intents and purposes, they are still one of the better teams in the NEC this season.
It's yes, Eddie. For all intents and purposes, not intensive purposes.
Oh, my God.
Maybe you should spend more time on your grammar and less time on your sport ball.
Sport ball. Sport ball is looking pretty good this year for RMU. Intents and purposes. But the one thing I wanted to talk about with Meet the Colonials was how Andy Toole was interacting with the crowd.
Ooh.
It was dirty.
Okay.
Because that's number 50. Roll number 50.
Don't say things are dirty.
Strike 50.
You're done!
Andy Toole, at one point, when the male student was shooting the free throw, and he made the free throw, he made the three-pointer, and Andy Toole was trying to get him to try the half-court shot. And the guy was like, no, give me the money. I want to take the money and run. As he well should have, because he barely made the three-pointer. I have no idea how he actually made that three. But Andy Toole kept pressing him, like, come on, man, come on. And then he said something on the lines of, come on, my family needs to eat. I can see you're well-fed. And the kid wasn't... The kid wasn't like 300 pounds or anything, but he wasn't the skinniest of guys either. And I just
said the highest paid man at RMU. My family needs to eat. Wow, that's dirty.
So that made me think. Wow,
that's not just dirty. That's just plain rude, I think.
And then
that's dirty.
The context of it, I don't think, was exactly that he needed that money. I feel like he was just. I think it was more sarcastic.
No, I'm blowing it out of proportion. I'm writing an article.
No.
Andy Toole says he's not paid enough.
Yeah, all right, that's enough of that.
Yeah, but that context was. That was. Watch. I think it was a sarcastic context in that. Shameless plug in.
There you go.
But then later, there were in the dunk contest, there were people starting to leave. It was almost 11 o'clock at night. People were starting to leave. I would have wanted to leave if I wasn't in the live sports truck. And he actually looked at people and said, hey, don't leave yet. Show some pride in your university. He like made people, he called people out leaving, made them come back to sing the alma mater of the school at the end, until the very end. And I was just like, wow, does he really care that much that people are starting to walk out at 11 o'clock at night? It just really rubbed me the wrong way.
I think he also wants people to still, you know, have that campus pride, that pride in your team. Because wasn't he going around at least earlier this year or sometime last semester busting people for not wearing RMU
stuff?
Yeah, he
would give them a free T-shirt, like an RMU T-shirt, if you wore another school's.
Yeah. So, I mean,
he's always been like that. He's always been a big school spirit guy.
Yeah, and can you blame him?
Yeah, especially with this new arena.
I think more so this year you're going to see more of that because he wants students to come out.
Yep.
Because he knows that a good portion of getting this new arena is hinging on attendance.
Yeah, I think we have to caution the fact that he can do all that, and they can come out. The students can come out and sell out every or fill every game.
Pack the chuck.
Yeah, pack the chuck. Hashtag pack the chuck. But it's all null and void. It's all a moot point if the team tanks.
Right.
If the team doesn't win the NEC championship or at least go to the NIT or contend for the NEC championship, it's all a moot point. The stadium won't have any merit because the team won't be producing on the court.
Right. Well, we've got a little bit of time to wait and see.
I
want to say that was my favorite sports block we've ever done. That one was very interesting to me, actually.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you, Eddie.
It was really interesting. Good job, Zach.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well done, Zach.
Good job, Zach.
Every now and again, a squirrel does find a nut.
I won't hit you with my car tonight.
There you go. That's going to do it.
You're safe. With my
car. That's going to do it for this show today. We're going to be looking for a new entertainment guy starting next week.
Taking applications.
So we're going to be taking applications. Yeah, I mean, we're still looking for people in the corner. We might be looking for somebody to run this board since I had my issues today.
Hashtag crash RMU chat.
There you go. Hashtag crash. I think we're going to use that. I think we should use that. Why not? For Hannah Smith, Eddie Sheehy, and Zach Laufer, I'm Ben Colin. You've been listening to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
Listen, young people, I'm 74, and I plan to live 60, you're 70 more. Yeah, I've been all around, I've done a few things, and I spent a few nights on the floor. Everything wrong, but I never got caught, so of course I would do it all over again. I surprised many people who'd written me off years ago. Now they're way underground. Nobody asked me, but here's my advice to a young man or woman who's living this life in a world gone to hell. Quietly.